Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we start on a new series from the book of Hebrews. It's a declarative and revealing book, Hebrews, and I think that taking a magnified look at this book is going to be very rewarding to all of us. So, friends, we're glad you're with us. And, Bob, where do we start?
Well, we're going to start right in chapter 1 today. This I am so excited about working through the book of Hebrews. Richard, you and I have taught through it in a sermon out from a pulpit, and that was awfully fun. But I think this is going to be even more fun to go through this book. It's one of the most exciting, compelling books in the entire Bible. Some say it's the pinnacle of the Word of God. And the reason they say that is because it paints a picture of Christ like no other book in the Bible. And it's just magnificent. It's majestic in just every form and thing you can possibly imagine.
Sure, yeah.
As far as this book is concerned. So we're very excited about going through this today. We're going to do an introduction. We're going to get through the first four verses of chapter 1. And the reason we're going to limit what we're doing today to those first four verses is because those verses really summarize the entirety of the book of Hebrews. And so basically the rest of the book is the commentary on what the author has put down in those four verses. So we're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 4 today. Now, a couple of introductory remarks here. As far as the book, we have no earthly idea who was the author of this book other than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired someone to pen these words for us. Now, many have said it could be the Apostle Paul. Some have said, no, it was Luke. Some have said it might have been Barnabas. Others have said it was Clement of Rome. Later, Martin Luther proposed Apollos as the author. Some have even said Priscilla and Aquila. But the fact remains, we don't know.
Yeah.
No one knows for sure. The other thing that's unknown about this particular letter is the audience. We don't know who the writer was writing to. And there's wild speculation on that as well. Was this a letter sent to the Christians in Rome who were suffering persecution? Was it sent to Jewish Christians in Jerusalem who were certainly suffering persecution as well? There's wild speculation. There's great argument for either one of those. But when we get right down to it, we don't know that either. Why? Because the author didn't name himself, or he didn't name who he was sending this letter to. Like the letter of Rome, we know that Paul wrote it, and we know he sent it to the church at Rome. Mm-hmm. How do we know that? Because he said it right at the beginning.
Yeah.
The other thing that we don't know about this letter is the date. When was it written? Again, there's wild speculation. Was it before 70 AD? There's lots of strong evidence to support that. And maybe around 62 to 65 AD was when this was penned. Others say, no, it was long after AD 70. And they have the evidence to support that. Again, we don't know that date. But here's what we do know. This is the most magnificent book ever written about the person and work of Jesus Christ. We know the subject, and we know that in revealing to us Jesus as this writer did, he reveals Jesus as superior to everything in the world, as preeminent in the cosmic order, and that everything that he has accomplished is better, far better than any other religious system has offered, including Judaism. So we'll constantly come across those two words, superior and better, as we're working through this particular book. So here in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, let me just read it and we will dive right in. So long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Yeah. So that is the opening. That is the introduction. And that is just one powerful piece of literature to really lift up the person of Jesus in such a magnificent way. And it's interesting how the writer starts this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. And I think that is something that we need to just stop and ponder, the fact that God spoke. And that tells us something about the nature of God and his interest in us. He spoke to us. He didn't just speak. He wasn't just speaking to himself. He wasn't just offering words out there in the universe and hopefully they would land somewhere. He was speaking directly to us. And in times past, he spoke to us through prophets and in various and sundry ways, as the King James would put it. But now in these last times, he is speaking to us through his Son. Now, we ask, what's the difference? What's the difference in how he spoke to us through the prophets in those times of old and how he is speaking to us today through his Son? Well, there's no difference as far as the subject matter, because Correct. The Bible is the story of Jesus from beginning to end. But through the prophets, the story was delivered in promise form. These are the things that are coming. This is what's going to happen in the future. And so it created a sense of anticipation and hopefulness in the people of that day. Now, as he speaks to us through his Son, he speaks in words of fulfillment, of finality. Promises given, promises fulfilled. That's how he spoke through the prophets. In promises, he speaks to us in Jesus in fulfillment. Yeah. So there's a finality in this word that Jesus brings us. Mm-hmm. And so we can rest in the fact that this is God's highest word to us. And that highest word is Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. So we'll stop there just for a second and pick right up.
We're glad you've joined us, friends. We're just getting started with a new and exciting study in the book of Hebrews, and we're still in chapter 1, so you're early, and we're glad you've joined us. So we want to remind you that if you have a question concerning this particular study, you can call or write to us. You can call 844-322-2742, and we'll be glad to address that question next week on Basic Gospel. And you can also email bob@basicgospel.net. That's not a double Bob. It's just bob@basicgospel.net. But it is our study in Hebrews, day one, and Bob, let's keep going.
Well, let's do. So what was promised in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament about Jesus, was that someone would come and he would fulfill three different roles. He would be prophet, he would be priest, and he would be king. And we're going to see the fulfillment of all three of those as we work through the book of Hebrews, but they are contained in these four verses. So back in the old, when God was speaking to the people through the prophets and in various ways, he promised a prophet. So in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses is speaking and he said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." So there's a connection with this prophecy and what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that God is speaking to us today through his Son, that we should pay attention, that we should listen to what he has to say. And then in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18, he says this, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So Jesus is going to be the voice of God's words to us. And there's many times throughout the gospel writings where Jesus would say, these aren't my words.
Yeah.
These are the words of God that I am speaking to you. And so it's a fulfillment of this promise in the Old Testament. So Jesus as the Son, so he is fulfilling these as the very Son of God, has become our prophet. He is speaking the word of God to us, and in fact, he is God's final word to us. The second thing is that the Old Testament promised a priest, one that was different from the Levitical priesthood. We see that in Psalm 110, and this is a very important psalm in relationship to the book of Hebrews. Much of the book of Hebrews rests on what the psalmist said in this particular psalm. But in verse 4, he says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise, he is our priest forever. And then the Old Testament promised a king. And this is 2 Samuel verses 12, chapter 7, verses 12 through 13. It says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, God is speaking to David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So we see in the Old Testament promises of a prophet, a priest, and a king. We see in Jesus the fulfillment of all three. All three of those functions are now embodied in Christ Jesus. And we're going to see that in this particular section. So we see these three promises fulfilled in Jesus, and then we also see seven different things that the writer speaks to us about Jesus. So this Son of God who has come upon the scene, whom God is speaking through, this is what we know about Jesus. We know that God appointed him heir of all things. That speaks to his preeminence, his place in the universe, that everything is under him. It says through him, God made the universe. So he is the creator. So the Son is the agency through whom creation happened. So he is heir of all things. He's creator of all things. And then he says he is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. So Jesus as the Son is unique in this world. He is something other than just a human being. He is God in human flesh. And Richard, I want you to explain a couple of these words, the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's nature. Because one of these Greek words, I think this the one for exact imprint, this is the only place it's used in the New Testament.
Yes, but thankfully it's the easiest one to understand. The radiance of God's glory means that in Christ, the glory of God revealed itself to us. And the beauty of this is it revealed itself to us in a way that wouldn't snuff us out of existence. I don't know how God did it, but he did it. And so whatever the glory of God is, its holiness, righteousness, love, grace, peace, all of that is embodied in Jesus Christ. And every time he opened his mouth, every time he touched someone, the glory of God was revealed. Now that he's finished with that work and he lives in us by the Holy Spirit, he has given us that glory, and we get to represent the glory of God. Not the way he does, of course, as we're humans, he's God. But that relationship that we have, the power of it being restored in him is what we're talking about now. So that's the glory. This exact imprint of God's nature, the exact imprint is the word character. We literally get our word character from it. And if you think about it in terms of coinage, it's probably a lot easier to represent. How do you put the picture on a coin, whether it's a quarter or a penny or anything else. You take a blank and you stamp it. And when you stamp it, there is an image transferred to that coin that is the exact image of the master. That's an everyday example. That's the word that the Greeks used for coinage, and the writer to the Hebrews, or writer of Hebrews, uses that same term to say it's when Jesus became human being, God stamped him with his image. So when, and Jesus said it himself in John 14, Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the exact imprint of the Father, albeit in human form." And so he's equating himself with God the Father in a way that none of us could ever imagine. And then when we get to this of God's nature, I'm not going to get into the theology of it. We don't have time. But this is the very essence of God is Jesus. Jesus is fully human and fully divine, and neither of those two facts suffer as the result of the other. They are completely equal, completely unique in the history of the world. Jesus is as human as you and I are, although never having fallen, and he is as much God as God is, and still has not fallen. And so Jesus put that those two things together, he and the Father, and showed up as a human being, fully God, fully man, fully able to do exactly what he needed to do.
Yeah. Well, friends, if you have just joined us in progress, you're listening to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and this is the first in a series of studies out of the book of Hebrews, and we're glad that you've joined with us. Just a quick note that if you have questions about this study or other topics, as a matter of fact, or if there's something you'd like to have us discuss on the broadcast this coming week on Basic Gospel, just call 844-322-2742, or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net, or the 24-hour phone line at 844-322-2742. Now we'll continue with the study, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Yeah, so the writer of Hebrews, he's listing out seven different qualities, characteristics about God. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's nature. So anything that you want to know about God, what we want to find out about what he's really like, you look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's where you're going to find what God is like. So we're going to find truth about God in the person of Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it in other places. You can look out there in nature and all of those sort of things, and God has revealed some of his attributes to us in the creation itself. But if we want to find out what he really thinks about us, what he thinks about us as human beings, we're going to have to look at Jesus Christ. And the fact that God spoke to us in and through Jesus gives us a clue that it's good, that he is for us, not against us. Now we're going to pick up the fifth thing that the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus is that he upholds all things by his power, that he is the enabling power in this universe. Not only does he sustain it, but he's the power that keeps it going. Now it's interesting if we will take that and bring it down to our personal situation. If he's the one that upholds all things by his power, is he trustworthy in our situations in life? Does he have something that he can bring to our circumstances, the problems that we are facing? Can we trust him to uphold us in whatever we're going through in everyday life? And I think the answer is yes. If he can uphold all of creation by the word of his power, he can do that for us as we go through our day-to-day walk in this topsy-turvy world in which we live.
Another way to look at it is, can I add anything to what he is?
No.
Absolutely not. He is everything.
We simply trust.
Yeah.
And really, that's one of the themes of this, is the writer of Hebrews is going to lift up the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the natural response, the spiritual response is, oh, I want to trust him and him alone. Now, the next thing that we see about Jesus, he's made purification for our sins. So this is the priest aspect of his role in coming. He purified us. He made us clean through his shed blood. Now, that is huge. Why? Because he has completely eliminated the barrier that stood between us and God, and now we're free to draw near to him in perfect worship. We're free to actually know God, to respond to him. The sin issue that kept us from responding to God has been dealt with once and for all, and we're purified, we're made clean in the sight of God. Jesus Christ did that. And after he did that, he was exalted, and this is the next thing that we see, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So it's almost like the writer of Hebrews bypasses the resurrection. He goes straight from cross to exaltation, the fact that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, what does that communicate to us? It communicates finality, that this gospel message is the final word to us. It is everything that we've ever looked for. It's everything that we've ever hoped for. It's what our hearts long to know. And Christ Jesus brought it in its finality, in its completeness. He took away the sin issue. He opened the door so that we could draw near to God and find our deepest contentment. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And that's whom God is speaking through today. If you want to know what God's word is to you in your situation right now, that word is simple. His name is Jesus. That's what God wants you to know. That's who God wants you to trust. That's who God wants you to cling to in all of life's circumstances. Jesus Christ is God's highest word to man. And as a son, that makes him superior to angels, as he said, and as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And that will lead us into next week's topic as we compare Jesus to angels.
Absolutely. Well, friends, we're glad that you were with us for the study edition of Basic Gospel through the book of Hebrews. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, of course, and guys, I really appreciate what you've shared today. And friends, since this is an ongoing series, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can always access the program archive through the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Also, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Your gifts through Basic Gospel will mean that others will be able to hear the life-changing message of the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ every day on the air and online. To make a gift to Basic Gospel, click Donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us in this best news the world will ever hear, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Guys, we want to remind our listeners once again that every day we are streaming live video to both our Facebook and YouTube channels, and we would love for you to take part and participate with us in that way. It's another avenue that God has opened up to disseminate the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you'll take full advantage of that. Also, take advantage of the Basic Gospel app, a wonderful way to stay connected every day to the message you hear on Basic Gospel, and we would love for you to take advantage of that. You can listen online, you can make a gift, you can do lots of things with the app. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, with your invitation to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.